Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution? Or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on OM Times Radio.
Welcome to Eros Evolution, where sexuality and spirituality meets. This is Martha. I'm a sexologist based in Singapore, and my company is called Eros Coaching. This you can find me on Eros Coaching, that's eroscoaching.com. Today's title is Make Love the Ecology of Your Life, and we have Serena Gaia. So today's show's description is written by Serena, and it goes, love is the cosmic energy that animates matter with life. There are different names for it in different belief systems, prana, chi, eros, universal energy. Our species has become disconnected from the metabolism of the earth, the matter from which this energy surges. We have become a force of destruction capable of turning the blue-green planet Gaia into a rock like Mars or a fiery hell like Venus. As a humanist, Serena believes that the arts and humanities are the science that will help us in inventing the belief systems we need. The 21st century has been the century of anxiety, the most violent century when humanity has become too powerful for our own good. Now we clearly need a new belief system. Ecosexuality is a way to invent this new belief system, as it teaches that love is the ecology of life. Love is what everyone wants, and most people feel they are unable to produce. Serena believes that channeling the vital energy of love is an art. She believes that this art can be taught and learned in the schools of love we need. The art of eco-sexual love is what she teaches. Everyone can learn it. When you learn these arts, you can make love the ecology of your life. Serena Gaia is the sacred name of Serena Andolini Donofio, and she has a PhD. Serena Gaia believes that a world where it is safe to love is a world where it is safe to live, and intends to create that world with her sacred activism. So she is the professor, a professor of humanities and cinema at the University of Puerto Rico. In 2012-13 to 2013, she was research fellow at the University of Connecticut Humanities Institute. Her numerous peer-reviewed articles are available on academia.edu. In 2011, she taught the first multilingual course in ecosexuality in Italy. In 2013, she taught the first college credit course in ecosexuality in University of Connecticut. So let's welcome Serena Gaia.
Thank you, Martha, for that wonderful introduction. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for presenting all my work and my ideas so clearly. I am in my residence in Italy. It's about 10 p.m. here, and it's just a pleasure to be on your show. Yes,
Thank you. We can talk
about anything you would like.
Thank you so much. So you can find Serena, I forgot to mention, Serena at serenagaia.com or ORG.
ORG. It's actually the correct one is ORG.
Oh, okay. So serenagaia.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just before the show really begins properly, I just want to mention that this lion that was killed by a dentist in Zimbabwe is hitting the social media like nothing this week. The last 2 days, it's been reported that this lion, Celia, was drawn out of the park and was killed by this dentist who apparently had a legal license and had paid $50,000 for it. However, he didn't know that this lion was a local favorite, was being tracked for research purposes for the last 7 years, and actually has cubs. So it's one death, but actually there's going to be cubs involved. And lots of people are really upset and threatening to do harm to this dentist who has now gone into hiding. So I just thought that today we're talking about ecology, and really it's about loving Mother Earth and loving the planet. And I believe this extends to animals. So maybe just briefly, Serena Gaia, do you have anything you'd like to comment about this episode?
Yes, I would like to say that it's all in all of this, it's a matter of proportions. There is a chain of life, and you know, we're all part of it. Animals are food for other animals, and plants are food for some animals, and it's a big cycle of life and cycling and recycling, and we become recycled like everyone else. But to deliberately kill an animal that is part of an endangered species, it doesn't matter how much you pay, you know, how much you can afford to pay, is to me is very irresponsible, because all the species are connected, all forms of life are connected, and there is a balance to things. And there is a reason why certain species are protected, is that we do need to keep the species alive. So it seems to me, it's like, you know, when rich countries want to pay money to create more pollution, compensating poor countries with some money, the reality is that we can only afford so much pollution. It doesn't matter how much we pay. Those are my thoughts. You know, I understand that we as humans have a lot to learn from all different forms of life, that we often forget that animals can be our teachers, that nature can be our teacher, that if we exist, it's because all these other forms of life exist. Mm-hmm. That one episode would take so much, you know, the media by storm is typical of today. I don't think that... you know, I think there is a larger question than just this one lion, and probably this episode has touched on a nerve, a sensibility for many people.
Well said. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I feel lions are, you know, considered the king of the jungle, and this animal is obviously majestic, and it's sad for me. However, to judge and condone and to say that, you know, online media are saying that they're going to kill him, this guy, and stalk him and cut off his head, I think that's really out of proportion. So,
the problem is. Right. And at the same time, you know, the lion is a very symbolic animal. And apparently this lion had fraternized with humans, which is, I find, very interesting, that what we are witnessing is that sort of contradictory, right? The king of the jungle that becomes friends with humans becomes sort of a pet. And I have seen many cases of this, of animal behavior that is atypical. I think that an endangered species or an animal who is isolated from his own species then can present behaviors that are uncustomary when the animal is in a pack with his or her own species. So that's another interesting aspect in this story, that this lion had become human-friendly. I mean, not that made him less, how can I put it? You know, perhaps he didn't deserve to be killed because he had become human friendly. I mean, nobody deserves to be killed. I think that violence is very often gratuitous, especially when it isn't part of it, as I said, you know, a cycle of life, which is basically, you know, what ensures the survival of life as a whole. But in this case, there's no connection with that. It's just a pure deliberate, vanity, you know, going to Zimbabwe and kill a lot.
I'm picking up on the word vanity, because It's really him hunting. The dentist has a track record of going around the world hunting exotic animals, cutting off their heads. And it's really hunting as a sport versus hunting for survival.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. Coming back to the show topic itself, we're going to go into break. However, we're going to be talking about how we can make love the ecology of life. So do you have something you could comment very quickly?
Yes, I find that, you know, it's how can one make love the ecology of one's life?
Mm.
It's not easy, and it doesn't happen overnight, and it never is done once and for all. It's a constant process, right? It's a constant process of having the within connected with the outside, and maintaining that balance in favor of a within that really generates the force of love that we want in our lives, and therefore it is becoming that source of that force, and then having it go around and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit like when I am a massage therapist, and you know, it's a bit like a massage. You know, it goes from the giver to the receiver and then back to the giver. It's a way of circulating energy and maintaining that force of a positive force field. There are lapses, you know, there are many lapses. It doesn't, you know, it's not something you buy at the supermarket. It's something you have to produce, something you have to generate. But it happens. Eventually, it becomes more stable, it becomes more widespread, and eventually people will come to you. You know, it will attract the people that help maintain it and spread it. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely beautiful. So after this break, we'll come back and talk about how ecology is the love that we need in our lives.
Yes.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business. Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution, where sexuality and spirituality meets. Today's show title is Make Love the Ecology of Your Life, and we have Serena Gaia, also known as Serena Andolini. And you can find out more about her and her work by going to serenagaia.org. She has just published a new book together with her friend, and who was also on the show a few weeks ago. And you can find out about this book, Ecosexual Love, on Ecosexuality, When Nature Inspires the Arts of Love. This is the first edited collection of writings on this topic with the voices of over 30 leaders. And the website of this book is ecosexbook.com. You'll be able to order it on Amazon as well. Just before the break, we were starting to explore the subject of how we can make love the ecology of life. And I was just wondering whether you have anything else that you'd like to add, Serena?
Yes, you asked me, you know, how to create that for oneself. I wanted to add a couple of things. It's an individual question, but it's also a planetary question, a community question and a planetary question. Of course, if you live in the middle of a desert devastated by the war or by a drought, it's not going to be easy for you to make love the energy of life. But that's not because something is wrong with you. Mm-hmm. It's because there's been too much devastation in your environment. So, you know, it's important to keep the momentum going, to sustain that effort in a collective way. And so it's important if we have the privilege of living in environments that are really sustain us and love us, that we generate that force and spread it around. Mm-hmm. In my case, for example, I have been so fortunate, you know, 17 years ago, I landed on a tropical beach. I work at a university. It's only 15 minutes drive from this beautiful habitat, from this beautiful ecosystem. And that's where I have found the source of that energy for my life. And therefore, I have been able to generate it and spread it around with my books, with my events, with my friends, with my communities. And so I feel I have been fortunate and I can help others move the energy in that direction. But it's not just a bunch of individuals. It's also communities, people who want to make love the ecology of our lives. We want to connect and sustain each other and help those others who aspire or who have more trouble as well. I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah, it's beautiful that we are able to do that. It's important because really, what else is there if our planet is ruined and, you know, everyone would die?
Right. I think that the imagination of these catastrophes helps us really sustain the ecosystems that work. And I've seen more collaboration. For some reason, you know, many people have become more collaborative. I don't think that the media reflects that because the media tends to focus on disasters. Mm-hmm. But I think that a sense of collaborativeness is spreading. I see it in many places where I happen to be. I don't have any statistics. I just have hope.
Yeah, it's so important to have hope.
Yes. And you wanted to ask some other question?
Yes. Go ahead. You know, there's this whole thing about eco-sexual person truly having a love relationship with Earth. So how can we begin to do that?
Well, for example, you know, for many people, that's a typical image is a tree hugger, some naked who hug trees or who just keep sticking around the trees that are being, you know, threatened with being cut. Mm. That kind of activism. That obviously is the most, perhaps the most, the poster image of ecosexuality. And it's not a false image, but it's not everything that there is. And obviously, it is important to hug trees at all times, and especially when they're threatened with being hugged. And, you know, nudity is also, you know, nudity is nature. I mean, we are naked animals. We use clothes, but, you know, but under the clothes, we're always naked. And so that sense of being comfortable with one's body, with one's ecosystem, especially in nature, is very, very empowering. It's very therapeutic. In fact, contact with nature is very therapeutic because it helps overcome phobias, for example, that we acquire by very mechanized lifestyles. Mm-hmm. And the more contact, the better. So, you know, the less clothes, the better. I am a nudist, and I really enjoy non-sexual nudity, family nudity, family naturism, as well as the sexualized nudity. But from an ecosexual viewpoint, it is the contact with nature, that sense of immersion in a natural habitat, that is very important. Trees have been sacred in many spiritual traditions. I remember the banyan tree in Auroville, a community, Auroville, Tamil Nadu in India, a community that I visited many years ago. At one point, this land was a desert, and there was one banyan tree left, a very, very large one. It's a sacred tree. It's a sacred tree in India. Mm-hmm. And from that tree, the whole green forest that this community is now was regenerated. So from that tree, from the arrival of people who worship that tree, who really, really revered the life that the tree gave. So trees are our companions. You know, they perceive our presence. Trees will grow or not grow depending on, you know, on the energy they receive from those who take care of them. So that's part of ecosexuality, of course. Did you want to ask another question, or you want to continue?
Yeah, I was having an argument with my friend actually over Celia the lion, because he was saying that, you know, people are overreacting, and I was telling him that people who are actually more in touch with animals and nature would actually have a relationship with them, and therefore they would feel compassion and pain about the death of the animal. So yeah. I think it's kind of the same what you're saying about nature. If we don't have a relationship with nature and we don't spend time with nature, we don't realize how important, how sacred, how special being in nature means and how essential it is to our well-being. And if we don't have such a relationship, then obviously we are not going to be able to appreciate and protect and really do right by nature.
Exactly. We as a species, we have become very disconnected from the metabolism of the earth. And so we, you know, we often live in very artificial environments where nature is something you watch on TV or you're watching from the window. And therefore, this doesn't help us appreciate what nature does for us. Mm. And so we don't consider it enough. Whereas if we connect with nature, then we start seeing the sacredness in all forms of life. And it's very revitalizing. I mean, you know, the sacred and also the excitement, the vitality, you know, the erotic aspect of nature, how it really inspires the arts of love. Even, you know, the arts of love in the sense of, you know, the erotic arts. Nature can be a great seducer. It can be a great inspirer, a great pander.
And there are people who get very turned on in certain kinds of environments, and nature is one of them. And then from there, we go on to feeling one with the universe, and then feeling one with the universe with our partner or partners.
Exactly. And I think that when we get to know natural environments better, we see that the different forms of life that make them are playful. You know, there is a very playful aspect to nature. I think that as modern humans, we have been conditioned by a Darwinian thinking. No, not, this is not Darwin's fault, but a Darwinian thinking looks at nature as a reproductive system, species that simply, you know, reproduce from one generation to the other. But nature is very playful. There is everything in life. That's why I say that Gaia is gay, you know, gay in the original sense. It's a playful happy planet. Life is play, you know, and play is what makes us want to be alive. So, you know, some people like to play in a dungeon. That's fine. Mm. No problem. Mm. And some people like to play in a park. Mm. And some people like to play on the beach. These are just different varieties, different forms of play. But I think that if we imitate nature, we realize that being playful is very important, is what really connects us to others, like ourselves or different from ourselves.
Yeah, you know, we get so serious and bogged down with life, with all the burdens, with bills that we need to pay, and all our roles and responsibilities. I love what you're saying about life is play. If the only way we can play is if we're happy, and I'm not sure a lot of people take the time to be responsible for what makes them happy, whether it is to do a silly dance or to play a little prank on their colleague or take a walk in nature, you know, to really get a perspective that we're just part of the entire ecosystem, and there's so much beauty in life to be grateful for.
Yeah. And it can save a lot of medical bills.
So more about ecosexuality after this break.
Yes.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution. Today's show is titled Make Love the Ecology of Your Life, and we have Serena Gaia, also known as Serena Andolini. And yes. So, your full name, Serena Andolini.
D'Onofrio,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And she's published this new book called Ecosexuality, When Nature Inspires the Arts of Love. She has also published other books such as Bitopia in 2011, Bisexuality and Queer Theory in 2010, Plural Loves in 2005, Women and Bisexuality 2003, as well as The Weak Subject in 1998. She's now working on other projects such as Amorous Visions, a take on the nexus of Italian cinema and ecosexuality, on Talking to Gaia, dialogues about love, and also Occupy the Heart, a play about initiations to ecosexual love. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, thank you.
So just before break, you were mentioning briefly that our bodies are also ecosystems. Could you elaborate more on that?
Yes, definitely. Ecosystem is a word that comes from the sciences. It's really a concept that helps us imagine different elements connected together and helps us focus on studying how they function together. Okay, so when we listen to theories like Lynn Margulis' version of Gaia theory that emphasizes symbiosis, right? In an ecosystem, different elements work together. Why? Because they help each other. And that's the essence of symbiosis, is a way to look at evolution through collaboration. Instead of competition, collaboration. Collaboration is very important in evolution. So ecosystems evolve and become stable when the different elements work together. And, you know, and therefore the word applies to humans. We are, you know, our bodies are very sophisticated ecosystems made of different elements that work together, different parts, different organs that evolved to become very sophisticated operators in certain areas of our metabolism. I don't know, the brain, the digestive tract, the circulatory tracts, all of these are elements of an ecosystem. So it's just a way to interpret ourselves. This does help each one of us to see the connection between the outside and the within.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The outer and the inner landscape. Again, mm-hmm. where do I put my ecosystem? Has a lot to do with how my ecosystem will thrive or not. Because the surrounding ecosystems are the ones that will maintain that health or will not. And by that, you know, it's not just, the natural ecosystems that surround us, the climate, the weather, the air quality or the food quality, but also relationships. Relationships have an effect on our emotions, and then our emotions have an effect on our vital functions. So it's very important to treat our body, interpreting our body as an ecosystem helps us take care of this ecosystem the way we take care of other ecosystems. And therefore connecting it, surrounding it with other ecosystems that sustain it in a balance. And obviously, it also helps us become more aware of how we can sustain the ecosystem that surround us, because then they will sustain us.
Mm.
You see, that I live on a beach. What if I allow the beach to become a garbage dump? Then I can't even open the window because the smell is terrible. But if I really take care of the beach, if I understand how the beach loves me and how I can love her, then I will make sure that it's quiet, that it is clean, that it is available to nature lover, and then I will create an ecosystem that sustains me.
Mm.
So, beautiful. And I will end up also taking care of a piece of our, of the lover that we all share, the earth. Because really, we all share this lover, and you know, she loves all of us.
She's beautiful.
Very, very compersive, very polyamorous. She loves all 9 billion humans and all the other.
I love the way you have just explained everything so clearly and beautifully. You use such beautiful language, and you're able to make the link to everything, and then I really begin to understand and appreciate what you mean by ecosystem now, because it's not just about the environment, it's not about just about our relationship with one another, it's also about the system that is internal within us. We have all these different systems in our bodies, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously it makes complete sense that it's an ecosystem.
Yeah. I wanted to do a little sort of reprise of a previous theme now that we've talked about this, because when you asked me, you know, how do you make love the ecology of your life, precisely is when you start interpreting your body as an ecosystem and then creating this balance and this convergence of other ecosystems that take care of themselves and that you take care of and they take care of you, that you can create that field, that force field of positive energy, that sort of balance that makes love the ecology of your life. And I wanted to say also that one of my projects in the future is to create more weddings of ecosexual love, like the one that I did on the beach where I live, Playa Azul, 2 years ago, which is now becoming a movie. It's called Serena, Gaia, and Playa Azul. Possibly will be ready in the winter. And that also, these weddings really generate communities. They sacralize an ecosystem. The ecosystem feels alive, feels like revered, and the people who wed the ecosystem, they really feel like family. And everybody is a spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, there are no privileged spouses. Everyone that weds the ecosystem is a spouse. So much so that we call it spice, like the spouse is spice.
Great.
And also that individually, you know, there's something called bonobo coaching, which really helps people break out of these barriers of the ego, break out of this scarcity mentality where they feel that love is not abundant, you know, that it is very expensive and very difficult to find, and helps people reacquire that ability to generate, you know, to generate the love that we need from within energetically. So, you know, there are tools. And that's part of what I have organized in the new website, serenagaia.org.
Mm. Fantastic.
Yes.
You know, what brings me back to the whole point of this show, because really this show, Eros Evolution, explores the link between our sexuality and spirituality. So when you talked about ecosystems just now, it reminded me of the, you know, what New Age people always say, we are all one, we are all connected. However, when you introduce this word ecosystems, it just totally makes sense how the way systems work internally and also the way the universe, Earth, works is also where we are all interdependent on each other, and therefore what one does affects the other.
Yes, yes.
And so this is where spirituality would come in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we often look at, you know, sexuality as something that is very, we have often very reductive perspectives on sexuality. It's either pleasure, particular pleasure, or a reproductive act. But but if we reconnect the sacred and the sexual, what has happened with modernity is that the sacred and the sexual have divorced in culture. We've created cultures that divorce the sacred from the sexual. So one of the ideas of ecosexuality is really to bring about a new marriage of the sacred and the sexual.
Mm.
Because obviously pleasure is different when the sexuality that we practice is sacred as well.
Mm.
It's just a different dimension of pleasure.
Yeah.
Because we start experiencing the pleasure of the other as our own. We don't seek our pleasure. We emanate it. We emanate pleasure. And then when we connect with others who also emanate that pleasure, then it's a very ecstatic type of pleasure.
Love what you're saying. Emanate. I love that. Because, that's the saying, you can't love someone if you can't love yourself. So when you have pleasure in your life, then you emanate it and therefore you attract more and also you actually help humanity.
Yes, yes, definitely. And often, this idea of, loving yourself first can be criticized. There are many critics of this idea, oh, love yourself, that's just being egotistic. But if you think of yourself as an ecosystem, you understand that this love is not easy. It's not just pampering oneself. It is maintaining the vital functions in a good balance.
Mm.
It's a different type of love. It's a love that requires a certain awareness, a certain consciousness, also a certain effort, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, we are, how people say sexual energy is life force energy, and so the link between sex and life is really the same. So let's explore more about this after the break.
Yes.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution, and we are going into the last 15 minutes of our show today. Time really flies. And we are making love the ecology of our lives in today's show. Just before break, we were talking about all the different ways in which our bodies are essentially an ecosystem, and how I really appreciate the link and the connection that we have, not just to within ourselves, but also with other people and then with Earth at large. So let me just talk a little bit more about my guest, Serena Gaya. She has had this review by Susan M. Block, who is also a sexologist. And she actually said this about Serena Gaya. She revives the vibrant prehistoric connection between nurturing Gaia and mischievous Eros, where the ancients envisioned as not just a sex god, but a primal force that blows the breath of life into all beings, artfully weaving together Gaia and Eros, ecology and eroticism. Serena Gaya creates a multidisciplinary, many-colored, polytextured tapestry of love. So be sure to check out her work. That's serenagaya.org, and also her book, ecosexbook.com. So welcome back to the show, Serena.
Hi, thank you.
So can we just begin to explore more as the show begins to wind down? How can we produce the love that we seek, this love for the ecology of our lives? How exactly can listeners be able to do that for themselves?
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you for the question. I want to answer a little bit in the ways of also expanding the question a bit. I don't believe that there is one recipe by which everyone can produce the love they seek. I wish I had that magic recipe. the inner energy that vibrates in our ecosystem is a result of what surrounds it, the emotions, the physical presences, the elements. So for everyone, the combination is different. And that's partly why with this book, Ecosexuality, When Nature Inspires the Arts of Love, we wanted to have as many authors as possible, because we wanted to have a very wide horizon. We wanted to show many paths to a similar balance. And so I would like to, refer your listeners to the richness of this book, where they can probably find something that inspires them to allow nature to inspire the arts of love and to make love the ecology of their lives, which is, a way to produce the love we seek. In other words, when we seek love, we come from a place of scarcity. Mm-hmm. We believe that love is an instinct, that is something to be acquired. So when we shift and we say that, we can generate the love that we seek, then we come from a place of abundance, because we are capable, we realize we are capable of generating, of generating the energy, and therefore attracting others who are also generating that energy. So that shift is something that is really in the mind. It's when we leave the mentality of consumerism and we connect with the best things in life, which are often free, like a walk in the woods, for example, or, smelling the flowers, that then we see that we can produce it. But then the path is different for every person. And it's important to have mentors. It's important to allow others to initiate us, to create collaborative relationships that helps help us be present to our potential. I want to give a little bit of a perspective on, you know, on the contents of the book. Mm-hmm. We start with part one, when the earth is our lover. So there are a bunch of ecosexuals who talk about this shift in metaphor, experiencing the earth as our lover. And so there are many paths there to begin this experience of the earth as a lover. And you know, and that's the beginning of, you know, of producing the love we seek, because the earth is always there. The earth is always welcoming us. The earth is always sustaining our love. Every lover that meets another lover, that always happens on earth. And if earth didn't provide these beautiful ecosystems where love can be expressed, there would be no love. There's always a third party, and that third party is our lover earth. In polyamory, we use the word compersive, mm-hmm. somebody who really experiences the pleasure of the other as our own. And the earth is like that, as a lover. She is the lover we all share. And then, so that's a first step. For some people, that could be a very, very first step, right? The earth is very energizing with all these energies surging from, you know, the forces underneath. And then we have another part, which is called ecosexual weddings. Body meet gender meet ecosystem. And that's really, it brings up a whole range of questions. You know, who am I? Am I female? Am I male? Am I married? Am I single? You know, all these identity questions. Mm-hmm. Or am I, you know, gay? Am I straight? The whole question of marriage equality. But really, those questions are obstacles to love. Love is a way to go beyond the ego. And so this idea of an ecosexual wedding, which is very inclusive because the third party is recognized. At least there are at least three parties. There is at least two spouses and then an ecosystem or a force of nature. But then in some other ecosexual weddings, there are even more partners. Everybody is a spouse. It's a way to really go beyond that dyadic sense of love, dyadic, like you and me, right? It's recognizing that there's always a host, there's always a third party, there's always a witness, okay? There is always an ecosystem that sustains the love that individuals are experiencing. And then ecosexual love as a resource for social change, that has a lot to do with, you know, the choices that certain people make to really go beyond the conventional arrangements of life, to found communities where people live in some form of communal love. And then when we finish with an orgasmic earth, really is a way to start seeing the playfulness, the sexiness, the sexiness of nature, the fact that, you know, ecstatic pleasure is orgasm, that in fact orgasm can be experienced from birth to death. Mm-hmm. You could have an orgasmic birth and an orgasmic death. That orgasm isn't just a moment of sexual release. And we have amazing authors, you know, people less known, more known, but they're all wonderful. We have a poet from London who's actually from Nigeria. Her name is Yemisi Ilesanmi. We have Veronica Monet, Dieter Doom, Mark Olson, Robert Silver, mm-hmm. Dave Whitner. We have more well-known people like Deborah Annapaul, Beth Stevens, Annie Sprinkle.
Yeah.
We have some organizers of the ecosexual communities in the Pacific Northwest, like Terry Chucky. We have world-class leaders in economic thinkers like Charles Eisenstein, poets like Karen Harry. So all of these people, all of these voices are forming like a bit of an orchestra, if you'd like. I wouldn't say a chorus because everyone is different, but an orchestra that helps you know, that provides a horizon for readers to explore ecosexuality, to see what can be in it for them and how it can help them transform their lives into the lives that they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read the book. I was very lucky to be able to review it. And from what you just described, I hope listeners would be interested to read this book, because I read it and I was deeply moved by the depth and the facets in which the love for ecology and its connection with our sexuality is depicted. So, you know, there are four themes, as you mentioned. And the only regret I had was that I was not in it, because really, literally, like, the who's who is working in positive sexuality, including, of course, Annie Sprinkle and her wife, Elizabeth Stevens, are inside. And they contributed their Eco-Sex Manifesto, which I love. So if you want to get this book, please be sure to check it out at ecosexbook.com. And you can also find my book review on my website under ecosex.com. If you just type in under the search book review ecosexuality, it'll pop up. So thank you so much, Serena Gaia, for coming onto today's show. You certainly brought a lot of new insights to listeners and on how we can make love the ecology of our life.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you so much. And next week, we'll have another guest, and we'll be talking about the link between spirit, dance, and sex in making love dances with Zahava. So be sure to check out Eros Evolution next week. Thank you.